Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nedarim is Lamed Aleph. We're starting very top of the Amud with the Mishnah. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lamed Zecher Nishmas Libe Gabriel Bashmuel. And also the learning we do this morning should be for Elias Neshama for David Ben Yosef. Okay, yeah, the Mishnah is on the top of the Amud. Again, let's just quickly reset the discussion. From where we left off yesterday, and that is that when we talk about Nedarim, so Hochen Acha Lashon B'nei Adam, we follow what is the normal understanding of people. And the Mishnah is just going to give us a number of examples. We did this yesterday, and we're going to continue doing this today. A number of examples of what is normally meant when people have usage of language. Now, the truth of the matter is, let's be perfectly honest, we don't even really need Mishnahs for this discussion, meaning the basic point is that whatever is normally understood to be this is what I mean when I say this, and this is what I mean when I say this. So the Mishnah could have just gave us the rule, and then we could have just applied it. Meaning, as we discussed yesterday, over the course of time, language changes, and meaning of language, of words change. And look, we even saw an example yesterday where a word is used in Tanakh a certain way, but we don't use that word anymore in that exact definition. The denotation. So we as we learned yesterday, we work with whatever is the modern understanding of the term, even if it doesn't fit in with how it's used in Tanakh. Okay, that's what we gave that example yesterday. So to which the Gemara. So the truth of the matter is that all these Mishnayos don't have to be articulated, but the Mishnah is just giving us a number of examples of this is what things mean when people say it. So, with that in mind, so let's start with our Mishnah. The first Mishnah we're going to be dealing with in the top of the Amud. Neder Mishoftei Shabbos. So let's say I make a neder from Shoftei Shabbos. I've had it with people who are Shomer Shabbos, and I don't want to get hana from them anymore. Now, okay, obviously the person making the neder himself is a Shomer Shabbos, and it's hard to understand with all these nedarim, so much animosity that's built up, you know, that he's making a neder, that he's not going to get benefit from other people who are Shomer Shabbos. So also be solved, also be kusim. So the Mishnah says that in incorporated and included in his neder are all Jews who are Shomer Shabbos, and also Kusim as well. Kusim, we've gone over them a number of times. They are a popular theme throughout Shas. They are a group of people who live in Eretz Yisrael who abide by Torah Shebechsav, but not by Torah Shebaalpeh. And that's a simplification of the Kusim. That's not perfectly accurate. They came into Eretz Yisrael during Bais Rishon, during the first temple, when Sancheriv came and destroyed the northern kingdom, so he took out the entire northern kingdom and he replaced them with a people from the land of Kusa. Hence, they're called the Kusim. And this is towards the end of Bais Rishon, and so now for years, for centuries, they lived up in the north. They were over to Avodah Zarah originally, but then the Navi reports that the line started descending upon them because Eretz Yisrael simply has no tolerance for Avodah Zarah, so then they converted. And as you know, you've gone through enough Gemara, you'll know that the Gemara has one of the classic debates of whether or not they're Geri Arayis or Geri Emes. Was it a forced conversion or was it a good conversion? And that is a constant debate throughout the Gemara. But right now, in the course of our Mishnah, we're not really going to be discussing that debate today. We're just, the Mishnah is just noting that when you say the word Shoftei Shabbos, so you include Kusim as well. They're also Shomer Shabbos. Shabbos is written in the Torah. They know of Shabbos. They are observing Shabbos. Good. So you make a neder, and you're not going to get any benefit from Shomer Shabbos. Let me use the wording of the Mishnah. From Shoftei Shabbos. So it includes both Jew and Kusi as well. Obviously, non-Jews are not included in your neder. Okay. May Ochle Shum. I've had it with the garlic eaters, okay? Those garlic eaters with their bad breath, I've had it with them. And he makes a neder against the garlic eaters. Now here, I'm really not, I did not mean that literally. I mean, I meant it literally, but do you know what the Gemara is making reference to here? So the Ron reminds us, the Gemara in Baba Kama. Gemara in Baba Kama describes how Ezra made a number of tekunas when they went back into the Eretz Yisrael to build the second temple. One of the tekunas of Ezra is that men should be eating garlic on Friday night. Sounds like a funny tekuna. But back then it helped potency. I cannot speak to the modern effects of garlic and whether or not it helps potency, but it helps potency. And the basic idea behind Ezra and his takanas is that we need Jewish people, so we need to procreate and we need to build up the Jewish population. So one of the takanas of Ezra was to eat garlic on Friday night. So this person says that I'm not going to get benefit from the ochle shum, from the garlic eaters. Again, another reference to Jews, basically. So interestingly enough, the Kusim love this minhag, meaning they did this as well. They also, it's not a mitzvah in the Torah to eat garlic on Friday night. It's a din derabbanan, it's a takana midrabbanan, but they followed it. So again, in the course of nedarim, we always follow the language, and they're garlic eaters just as much as we are. So the so your neder includes them as well. May only Yerushalayim. Here we go. Third example, the Mishnah. I've had it with the people who make aliyah l'regel. Right, they go up to Yerushalayim every yontiv. Again, it's a reference to Jewish people. Jewish people have a mitzvah to be Ola Yerushalayim. Here the Mishnah is interesting. Also, we saw umutter bekusim. So the Mishnah says that although, of course, you're talking about Jews, meaning Jews are now included in your neder, but the kusim, they don't do aliyah l'regel. This is interesting. They don't do aliyah l'regel. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Why don't they do aliyah l'regel? So the Rush has a comment over here. I'll read the words of the Rush inside. It's a very interesting comment. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to find the Rush. That's important. So, yeah, I see. Right. No, but that's... Where is he? On the previous slides? My Gemara is off print. So he's found on the previous Amud. Yeah, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't find it. Here, let me. I know it's funny. Let me borrow your Gemara. I know he says it. Okay. It's not. My Gemara has a different print. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Thank you. Mutter b'kusim. So the Rush writes, Einam olim l'rego. They don't do aliyah l'rego. Afa pishim midaraisahu. So the Rush writes, yeah, it's a din of the Torah. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. So sheheim sonim es Yerushalayim. They hate Yerushalayim. The Kusim hate Yerushalayim. Bahar grizim bacharu lahem b'makam Yerushalayim. And they replaced Yerushalayim with har grizim. Meaning, you'll find this, remember when the north and south split in Eretz Yisrael? In other words, remember. It's only been a short, 2,500 years ago. But the... when Rechavam and Yeravam split the kingdom, Yeravam really split the kingdom, and so he went up north. So the first thing he realized is that if I'm going to be a separatist, so we can't have this aliyah l'regel, meaning it's ridiculous. Because what's going to end up happening is that everyone's going to end up going to a central location three times a year. So one of the things that Yeravam did is he decided that there's going to be aliyah, but not aliyah Yerushalayim. It's going to be aliyah. We're going to stay up north. And so he built a religious center up in the north. The Kusim, basically same thing as well. Meaning the Kusim had a hatred to Yerushalayim, and even though there's a mitzvah in the Torah that says that they have to go to make aliyah l'regel three times a year, but they have har grizim. That's their religious central location, and that's even though, again, by
Higher
Grism
is actually written, so the Father is not written.
So correct. That's a very good point. Right? Ben points out it's a Yerushalayim is not mentioned in the Torah, meaning not mentioned as where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. Throughout the Torah always says that, where I'm going to put the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to put it where I tell you to. In other words, that's the only thing that we get from the Torah. So, right, kid, the Rambam has a discussion. I mean, Rishonim have a discussion. Why is that the Torah never identifies the Makom Beis HaMikdash to be in Yerushalayim? So, okay, good. That's a very good point. So the Kusim, so they chose Har Grizim over Yerushalayim. Good. So that was the whole punchline of the Mishnah. Meaning that even though they are bound by the mitzvahs in the Torah, and even though they follow Shabbos and even eating garlic, which is not a mitzvah in the Torah, but they don't do aliyah l'regel, so when you make a neder of aliyah l'regel, does not include the kusim. The Gemara starts off, yes?
It is according
to
the
Akedah.
Abraham says...
Yeah, but it doesn't say... Okay, fine, but it doesn't say... You're right, but it doesn't say Yerushalayim. Yeah, okay. So my Shoftei Shabbos. So the Gemara just clarifies the point of the Mishnah. You said I'm not going to get a benefit from Shoftei Shabbos. Elam I'm a Mekayim Shabbos. Are we talking about people who fulfill Shabbos, meaning who observe Shabbos? So my Yerbekusim, I feel up the Kochavim. Nami, everyone has some form of Shabbos. The non-Jews, the idolaters have a form of Shabbos, meaning they take a day off of the week. Now, in modern times, So the popular religion of the world, although that's changing, the popular religion of the world, they take off Sunday. But in other words, there's always a semblance of I take a day off of the week. So Ella mimitzuvim al haShabbos. So the Gemara says that we're talking about those who are commanded about Shabbos. So that's just us. So the Gemara says, okay, we're talking about those who are commanded. So kusim are also commanded with aliyah l'regel, and yet the Mishnah says that when you make an eder, it doesn't include the kusim. So Amar Abai, so Abai gives the explanation, mitzuva v'yose katani, so betarti bavi kamaisi, so v'kutim mitzuva v'yosim, ov de kochavim, ha'u da'avde osim, ha'u da'avde osim, v'ena mitzuva. So the Gemara explains like this. When you make an eder against Shose Shabbos, or Ochleishim, we're talking about a group of people who are commanded and fulfill the commandment. So when it comes to Shabbos, so Jews and Kusim are commanded and fulfill the commandment. When it comes to non-Jews, they're not commanded. They'll take a day off of the week. They'll reserve a special day of the week. They'll observe a special day of the week, but they're not commanded in that day. So that's why your neder doesn't include them. Because again, the general intent of the neder is, in this particular example, I'm making a neder against those people who are commanded and observe. And when it comes to Aliyah L'Regel, let's just finish up the Gemara. Now when it comes to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, so here, this is why there's a difference between Jew and Kusi. Because although we're both commanded, Kusim are converts, they're commanded, but they're commanded, but they don't observe. And again, go back to the Rush, in terms of an explanation of why they don't observe. But the reality is they don't observe this mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and that's why your neder does not include them. They are, got to remember correctly, but I don't think they're commanded. Meaning, Aliyah L'Regel is only for men.
No, but for Shabbos.
Oh, for Shabbos. Okay, yeah. Why does the Mishnah? Right, the Mishnah doesn't. Right, the Mishnah doesn't mention Neve Kanani. Okay, good. It's good. It's a good point. Okay, I don't know. Start with the next Mishnah. Koneim she'eni nana levnei Noach. First makes a neder and he says, that's it, I'm done with the B'nai Noach, I'm not going to get any benefit from the B'nai Noach. So the Mishnah says, Mutar b'Yisrael v'asar b'ovdei kochavim. So now you're allowed to get benefit from Jews, but you're not allowed to get benefit from ovdei kochavim. To which the Gemara asks the obvious question, v'Yisrael mi mapik mechla B'nai Noach? We're also B'nai Noach, aren't we? The answer is yes. Meaning, we are the descendants of Noach. So why aren't we included in the neder? The person made a neder against B'nai Noach. So why doesn't he include Jews? So the Gemara says, Kevin Diktish Avraham, Itkaru al Shmei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but again, we're talking about Nedarim, and we're talking about what the people's intent is. We are technically B'nai Noach. There's no disputing that. Genealogically, genetically, we are B'nai Noach. That's true. But once Avram comes along, and once we now, Avram has received Kedusha, and we're descendants from Avraham, so colloquially, we are now referred to as B'nai Avraham, not B'nai Noach. So that's not the intent of the person. The intent of the person was to talk about everyone outside of the Jewish people. Next Mishnah, Sheninen Elezera Avraham, Asur B'Yisrael, Mutar B'Ovdei Kochavim. That's it, I'm not going to get any benefit from Zera Avraham, any descendant of Avraham. So then the neder incorporates Jewish people, but any of the Ovdei Kochavim are not included as neder. And the obvious point which the Gemara makes, V'Aika Yishmael, what do you mean? There are many descendants of Avraham that are not Jewish. Let's start off with the Yishmael, which is a good part of the world population now. So, Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar Lecha Zera Ksiv. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we're talking about Zera Avraham. Zera Avraham is a specific term, and the Torah tells us, Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar Lecha Zera. In terms of colloquial, in terms of definition of what Zera Avraham is, you're right. Yishmael, of course, is a biological son of Avraham, but when we're talking about Zerah, we're talking about the progeny of Avraham, we're speaking specifically to Yitzchak. V'ayika Esau, the Gemara says, yeah, but even if we go down one generation, but Yitzchak is the father of two nations. He's the father of Esau and the father of Yaakov. So the Gemara says, be Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. Yeah, but again, read the Pasuk carefully. The Pasuk does not say that Zerah Avraham is Yitzchak and all descendants. It's be Yitzchak. Even in Yitzchak, within, there's still going to be a schism, and Zerah Avraham speaking specifically to Yitzchak, but even more specifically to Yaakov, etc., etc. So again, this is Nedarim. We're learning Nedarim now. So I don't. In other words, we're just talking about what people's intent is when they say the words Bnei Noach. People intend when they say Bnei Noach, meaning not Jew. That's the intent of people when they say it. Okay, non-Jew. Because, again, once Avram comes along and he's given this special mission in this world, so now we're no longer just Bnei Noach. Now, again, you're asking more like from a I don't know how to say this, halachic, hashkafic, meaning, right. Right, correct. Right. The only thing I'm diluting the question just a little bit, because in the world of Nedarim, we just want to know what people intend when they make that statement. Next Mishnah, She'ini Nenem Yisrael. Okay, here we go. Okay, up until now, pretty straightforward in terms of the Mishnah, in terms of the Gemara. What is generally intended? Here comes a very interesting discussion. It's a little tricky, but here comes a very interesting discussion. I make a neder that I'm not going to get benefit from you. Okay, so Eddie, I'll throw you out there. I'm not getting benefit from you. So now let's talk about a very simple transaction. Okay, can I buy something from you? In other words, my neder prohibits me from benefiting from you. But now we're talking about a simple transaction where I'm going to buy something from you. Now over here really turns into a very basic question, and that is as follows. In a situation of buyer and seller, and in the situation where I'm going to pay you money for an item, do we call that hana'a? And if we call that hana'a, who do we say is benefiting? Is it the buyer who's benefiting or the seller who's benefiting? So the easiest way to look at it... Thank you. Perfect. The easiest way to look at it is that in any transaction, they're both benefiting. Because now the buyer is obviously interested in that item. Now, granted, he's paying for that item, so it's not like he's getting a freebie. In other words, there is compensation for the item that he's getting, but on one hand, you could make the argument that he's paying, and therefore that's not a benefit, because benefit means I'm getting something extra. I'm not getting anything extra. I'm paying for it. And then in terms of the perspective of the seller, you could also make some form of that argument where the seller is selling an item, so he's giving something away, but on the other hand, he's getting paid. So, it's in a regular business transaction, I think the simplest way to say it, and not only is it the simplest way to say it, but it will be our conclusion when we get to the end of the sugya, it's not a long sugya, is that both parties really benefit in a transaction. Both the buyer and the seller are benefiting, but as we're going to be seeing over the course of the discussion, there are a couple of variables to take into consideration, and based on those variables, we really may be able to single out that in a transaction, one person is going to be benefiting. But just give the Gemara a little time to breathe, because it'll take a while for us to flesh out what exactly these other variables are. Let's start with the Mishnah once again. I'm not going to get benefit from a Jew. So lokeach. So here, let's focus now on me, right? In my example of me and Hedy. So me, I'm not going to get benefit from him. So lokeach biyoser. So now that means, Hedy, that if I'm going to go buy something from you, so I got to overpay, because I'm not allowed to get benefit from you. And if I paid fair market value, that's me benefiting. So I'm going to overpay.
Why are you going to do that?
Because I'm going to honor, right? I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to honor my neder, but okay, fine. But good. You stumped me. So so I'm going to overpay so as not to violate my neder. Umocher bepachos, and if I'm going to sell something to you, so I'm going to make sure that I'm going to sell it to you below cost, because once again, if I sell it to you either at or even above cost, so that's going to be me benefiting. So if I'm going to sell something to you, I'm going to sell something to you below cost. Okay, so that's an example of where I'm making the declaration that I'm not benefiting from you. Now let's go the other direction. She saw Nen and Lee. Let's say, and remember, in the world of Nedarim, you can go in either direction. Let's say my neder is that, Hedy, you're not going to get benefit from me. That's my neder. And again, I'm entitled to do that. In the world of nedarim, I can make my property prohibited to you, so you're not going to get benefit from me. So lokech bepachos amocher biyoser. So now, so when you buy it from me, so listen, Eddie, right? You want to honor my neder, so you can't sell it to me at cost. You can't, and you certainly can't overpay for it. What you'll do is you'll buy it from me, but you're going to pay me less than its value. Now, I know, generally speaking, there's also an isra of ona'a, which the Gemara over here is not discussing, and for today, it's not going to be a discussion.
There's a shear
for ona'a, it's 1/6. Yeah, okay. But we're just talking about fair market value. Fair market value is the easiest way to describe what we're doing right now. So again, in the second half of the Mishnah, my declaration is you're not going to be benefiting from me, so that means now if you're going to come to me and buy an item from me, so you have to buy it at less than its value. So lokech bepachos, lokech bepachos. So I'm sorry. I'm going to buy something from you for less than its value. Umocher biyoser. When you sell it to me, so you're going to sell it to me greater than its value. Now the Mishnah points out. Ain shaman lo. It's like the greatest part of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, now you know, look at this negotiation, right? Hedi, I made a neder, you're not going to be able to benefit from me. So now you should know that anytime we do a transaction, so you got to be at the, you're going to have to suffer financially. Because right, so now I know I appreciate your loyalty. It makes me feel good. But the Mishnah says, let's be realistic. Ain't shomim lo. Like in other words, it's no one's going to listen to you at that point in time because you're going to every negotiation you're going to be ridiculous. You're going to be like, you want to buy something from me? Fine, you have to overpay. You want me to sell something to you? You have to underpay. And the Mishnah realizes, it recognizes that in terms of transaction, you are in an impossible situation. Okay, well, just wait. Let's just right now focus on the business at hand, which is business. Literally, in this case, business. So she'eni nena lahen. I'm sorry. Ve'ein shomim lo. She'eni nena lahen ve'hein li. Now, let's say your neder was bilateral. You made a neder. So here, in this case, I made a neder that not only Hedy, am I not getting benefit from you, but you're not going to get benefit from me. So now, what happens? So now what happens is that every time we have a transaction, so there's going to be somebody who's benefiting, and even if we adjust the price so that one person's clearly going to win, but in my neder, I made a bilateral neder that neither of us can get hanah from one another. So now what are we going to do? We can't have any type of business transaction. So
you can buy at cost.
So again, go back to what we said at the beginning. What we said at the beginning was is that if it's sold at fair market value, both of us are benefiting. Okay? So, and again, that's how we're going to end the discussion.
Fair market value. If I buy something $10, there's no benefit to me or you.
Yeah, but if
somebody else $10, or me $10, but.
I understand that, but if that's fair market value, so then
I bought it and I sell it at cost to you.
It's a subjective benefit when you buy and sell.
There, if okay, let's
one party is benefiting.
Stay tuned. Let's go through. We got more to go through before we can like really make any conclusions. So now under such circumstances, so the Mishnah says, so now I made a bilateral neder. So what am I going to do in terms of buying and selling? So the Mishnah says, Yahana lov de kochavim. So now that's it. We're done. We're done in terms of business transactions. I can't buy. I can't sell from you. One of us is going to be benefiting. It's going to be inevitable. So therefore, the Mishnah says you're going to have to basically turn to a non-Jew and do all your buying and selling from a non-Jew. And the Ran over here points out that, he quotes the Ra'ah, one might have thought that this is just simply untenable. All right, I can't. And the neder is comparable to I'm not going to be sleeping for 3 days, which we already pointed out. That's an untenable neder. It's just simply unsustainable. Therefore, it's not a neder here too. I might have thought that as well, but the Mishnah is coming to teach us that no, it's somehow sustainable. Okay. Yeah, in other words, as long as my transactions with him, as long as his transactions with him, so then we're fine. Okay, now, Amar Shmuel. Halokeh kli min ha'uman levakro v'ne'enas. Okay, this happens pretty often. And that is as follows. You're in the store and you're looking at an item, and the rabbi over here writes, it's got to be, just to be clear, you know exactly how much the item costs as you're picking it up. In other words, it's not a mystery to you what the cost of the item is. So, you are now in a store, you're a potential buyer, you're picking up an item, you're looking at it, you know exactly how much it costs, and it falls out of your hand. And let's not even call it a poshea. Let's not even say you were negligent. Let's go make it. Let's make the chiddush here an even a bigger chiddush. Nenas. In other words, someone bumped into you, and the thing fell out of your hand while after you put it in your hand. So the Shmuel says, "What's the halacha? Halakeh kli min ha'uman levakro v'nenas biado chayav." Right? So you know the expression, you break it, you pay for it? It's today's daf. Today's daf is you break it, you pay for it. Okay? Huh? Ah, so now, what's behind this halacha? Ama kasavar hanaso keach hi. Shmuel's of the opinion that all the benefit belongs to the lokeach. Now here, listen carefully, because this is very, I mean, this part of the Gemara is interesting, and this is what the thought process within the Gemara. We generally know that we have custodial responsibility. When we get to the Babas, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, more Baba Metzia, so we know that whenever you're holding an item in your hand, so you have custodial responsibilities. And based on how much benefit you're receiving, so your custodial responsibility keeps ratcheting it up all the way to the point of a shawal. The point of a shawal is where basically you're borrowing something that's all benefit, and therefore it's a lot of responsibility. So if you're borrowing something, you're on the hook. You're liable for everything. If it's stolen, if it's lost, even if something happens to it that was beyond your control, you're going to be chayiv as a shoal. What Shmuel's teaching us over here is that is when you're in a store and you're the potential buyer and you're picking up the item, you are analogous to a shoal. You're just like a borrower, where right now you are going to be getting all the benefit, and as a result of that, you're going to be chayv even for ones. But someone bumped into you from behind, and the item fell out of your hand, you're still going to be chayv, because Shmuel identifies the lokech, the buyer, as being the one who gets hana'ah. Wait, just 1 second. Let's go through the Gemara, and then afterwards I'll pause for questions. So venenos biyado chayv ama kasavar anaso keachi. So tenan. So the Gemara says now let's really see if this is so. Meaning Shmuel's identifying the lokeach in a regular buyer seller transaction. He identifies as that the buyer is the one who's getting all the benefit. And therefore, as he picks the item up as a potential buyer and it falls out of his hand, he's liable, even by ones he's liable, because again, he's the one getting all the benefit. Tanan, the Gemara says, let's look at our Mishnah. She'inin enem Yisrael mocher bepachos aval shava b'shavalom. Look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, einin enem Yisrael. We're going to the first case of the Mishnah where I'm not going to get benefit from you, Hedi. And meanwhile, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that when I sell an item, so I have to sell it for or less than its value. So the aval shava b'shavalom. But if I sell at fair market value, it's no good. Now, so the Gemara says, now let's think about it for a moment. I don't understand. Shmuel tells us that in a buyer-seller, the buyer is the one who's getting all the benefit. If that's true, so why would our Mishnah tell me that when I sell you an item, I have to sell it to you below cost? Even if I sell it to you at cost, even if I sell it to you at fair market value. Didn't Shmuel just teach us that you're the one benefiting? And if my neder is I'm not benefiting from you, so we're fine. We should be good. There's no violation of the neder. Because I'm not the one who's benefiting, you're the one who's benefiting. At least that's what Shmuel taught us. So I feel a shava b'shava. So here the Gemara says, now we need a new variable. And with this new variable, so now it's not going to be just a flat question of who's benefiting a transaction. We have to take one more thing into consideration. Masnisim bezmina derame al ape. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah is talking about where the Mishnah is talking about a very slow economy. Slow economy meaning that right now I have nobody walking in my store and I'm desperate for someone to sell it to. If the economy is super slow, so now under those circumstances, even if I sell something at fair market value, so it's not the buyer who is getting the benefit, it's the seller who's getting the benefit. Because thank God I unloaded the item. meaning I've been trying desperately to find somebody to buy it for me. I finally found somebody who bought it for me. Yes, he paid. Yes, I turned a profit. But man, oh man, I'm so happy I got it on my hands. I'm the one who's benefiting. That hana is me. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. That's why the Mishnah has to construct a scenario in which the only way I can sell you something, if I sell at fair market value, and my neder was I'm not getting benefit from you, and it's a slow economy, so I can't sell it to you at fair market value because I'm going to be the one who's benefiting. So therefore, the Mishnah is talking about a scenario. That's why the Mishnah has to construct a scenario where I'm selling it to you below cost, and under those terms, even though it's a slow economy, now because I sold it to you below cost, you're the one benefiting, and I'm not in violation of my neder. Imkene Maresha. So the Gemara says, okay, but now let's go to the same case of the Mishnah. Lokech biyoser. The Mishnah says that when I buy something, so I got to buy it greater than its market value. Again, my neder was I'm not going to get benefit from you. So I'm buying an item from you, I got to buy it greater than its market value. And now the Mishnah says, yeah, but remember, we set up the Mishnah's talking about where the where it's super slow, where there's no traffic and no one's coming in. So why do I have to sell it? Why do I have to buy it at its at greater than its value? Even if I bought it at fair market value, we should be good because again, my neder was I'm not going to get benefit from you. If I buy it at fair market value and it's a really slow economy, so you, thank God you finally got it off your hands and you're the one getting the benefit, not me. So we should be fine. Vode Masefa, and the Gemara says, and look, keep reading on in the Mishnah. She saw Nen and Li. The second case of the Mishnah is talking about where that person's not going to get Hana'a for me. So Lokech Bepachos and Mocher Biyoser. So under those circumstances, so if I'm going to buy, I have to buy for less than its value, and if I'm going to sell, I'm going to have to sell for greater than its value. To which the Mishnah said parenthetically, no one's going to want to do that, but anyway. V'ib is Vina Derami Alapei. Now again, if we're going to stay tight with our pshat, that the Mishnah is talking about where there's very low volume, no one's buying and selling. So then, afilu shava b'shava. So then, it should be now that even if I bought and sold at fair market value, we should be fine because again, if it's low volume, so under those circumstances, it's not the buyer who's getting benefit; it's the seller getting the benefit. So the Gemara says, shouldn't we be fine? So seifa b'zvina charifa. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to have to do in our Mishnah is that in our Mishnah we're going to have to assume that the Mishnah shifted. In the first half of the Mishnah, we're talking about low volume. In the second half of the Mishnah is talking about high volume. Now, in the world of high volume, let's go now to the other extreme. In high volume, who is benefiting from a sale in high volume? It's right, it's not the seller. As far as the seller is concerned, the seller can say to the buyer, you know what? We can do business, we can't do business. I literally, doesn't make no difference to me because you can walk out the door and someone else is going to come in. In a scenario of high volume, so really it's the buyer who's getting the benefit and the seller's not getting any benefit whatsoever. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that the Mishnah, in the second half of the Mishnah, is shifting now to a case of high volume. So the Gemara says, Yihachi lokech b'pachas afilu shava b'shava. Gemara says, but even that doesn't work out because in the Mishnah's example, what was the Mishnah's case? That when I buy it, I have to buy it at less than its value. Less than its value, afilu shava b'shava. What do you mean? Even if I buy it fair market value, we should be good because if it's high volume, the seller is not the one benefiting, it's the buyer that's benefiting. And so therefore, the neder was, you're not going to get benefit from me, but if it's high volume and I'm the one buying, when we should be fine. You're not getting any benefit, I'm the one who's getting benefit. Ella, so the Gemara says, okay. The Ron points out, the Gemara knows where we're going in this discussion. You know, it tests the water on both sides of the Mishnah, but eventually we know where we're going. Masnitzim bezvina mitzia. So the Gemara says, look, our Mishnah is talking about a market where it's not high volume, it's not low volume, it's middle volume. Okay, medium volume. In a case of medium volume, so here, like we said in the beginning of the discussion, but now let's conclude, when it's bezvina mitzia, when it's middle volume, both are benefiting from the transaction, both the buyer and the seller, right? The buyer now got an item, which he coveted, even though he paid for it, but he got the item, so he obviously is benefiting. And as far as the seller's concerned, good. Volume wasn't super high. I couldn't just sell it to anybody. It's not, you know, it's not low volume. We're somewhere in the middle. Seller also benefits as well. Under those circumstances, that's what I'm just talking about. That's why, and again, the Ron points out, we knew we were heading in this direction, but now the Mishnah, of course, makes perfect sense. That's why the Mishnah says that once there's a neder, we're going to have to adjust the pricing. Because if we don't adjust the pricing and we're selling at fair market value, both the buyer and the seller are going to be benefiting. And either it's a one-directional neder, or of course, in the case of a bilateral neder. But even in a one-directional neder, doesn't matter which way I'm making the neder. You can't benefit from me or I can't benefit from you. If it's a mid-level volume scenario, we're both going to be benefiting, and therefore, unless I adjust the price, one of us is going to be violating the neder. I'm sorry. Just give me 1 second. Let me just finish the flow of the Gemara, and then I'll pause. So that's the Mishnah, and that's what the Mishnah is dealing with, and that's why the Mishnah is talking about the adjustment of price. And as far as Shmuel is concerned, so again, let's go now over Shmuel's point. Shmuel's scenario is, I'm in a store. I picked up an item. I looked at it. I'm thinking about buying it. It's in my hand. Shmuel says, you drop it. Even if it's an ones, you have to pay for it. What's Shmuel talking about? Shmuel's talking about high volume. Because in the case of high volume, so what did we say earlier? We said in the case of high volume, let's start with the seller. The seller is getting no benefit whatsoever. Because as far as he's concerned, he could sell it anytime he wants. So from his perspective, there's no specific hana that he's receiving in this particular transaction. He could sell anytime he wants. It's the buyer who is getting all the hana. So in a high volume market where the buyer is the one getting all the hana, once he picks it up and once it falls out of his hand, he is tantamount to a shoel because it's all benefit, which amps up the responsibility, and that's why he's going to have to pay once he picks it up in his hands.
He still gets the benefit, although he's may not be as motivated as a seller, but
right,
he still gets the benefit.
I understand. I'm with you. I'm presenting the Gemara as simply and as best as I can. The Gemara says that in a high volume market, it's the buyer that's getting all the benefit. It's the buyer getting all the benefit. Okay. So Tanya Kavasi Shmuel, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Danny. Now's a good time for.
Situation, the seller is making a profit.
Good. Correct. Meaning that's right. But hana in this regard, meaning that of course he's doing, but doing business and making a profit is that's part and parcel of the transaction. Meaning every time I buy and sell something, yes, I'm making money. But that's just part of the nature of doing business. Hana means that there is a it's hard to say, I can't call it a tangible benefit, but an extra benefit in selling it. So certainly you can understand, in a slow market, you can certainly understand that the seller is so happy that he sold the item. Meaning in addition to the fact that he made money. But there's a fringe benefit in the fact that, oh, how good, I unloaded it. And in a high volume market, so here, as far as the seller is concerned, you know, I don't need you. Because there's another you coming in, you know, in just another moment. So in that circumstance, so yes, it's true, he's going to make money, but that's business. In terms of a fringe benefit that comes off of it, the Gemara says that's negligible. Okay. Tanya Kavasi Shmuel, the Gemara says, now we're going to quote a Bryce, and the Bryce here is going to support Shmuel's position. Halokeh Kelim in a Targar. Lishagon Leveis Chamav. So let's say as follows. You want to try to impress your father-in-law. So what do? You go to the store and you say to the store owner, I think my father-in-law would love this. And so you buy it off of him in order to send to your father-in-law. V'amarlo, in mekab lo sami meni, I need to sell l'chad demayhem. Look, obviously I don't know if my father-in-law is going to like it. But you know what? Right now, here's my commitment. I'm going to sell it to me. In other words, let's hold off on the payment. If my father-in-law likes it, if he approves, so then of course I'll pay for it. And however, he says to his father, let's say my father-in-law doesn't like it. And now it's going to be, and now he's going to send it back to you. I'll give you consideration. Meaning, I understand.
I'll pay you token.
Yeah, right. I totally understand that. You know, it's an inconvenience now. You don't have the merchandise on hand right now. You're having somebody look it over. I'll give you something for your time and for your effort. So Ne'ensu. So let's say now, as this item is being sent to the father-in-law, Behalicha Chayav, as it's being sent out to the father-in-law, and it's an ones. Ones again means circumstances beyond the control, but something happened and the item broke. You're on the hook, you have to pay for it. Bechazara patur. However, as the item is being sent back to the store owner, so then on a case of ones, he's going to be exempt. Because at that point in time, no say sachar. Meaning, let's go over both directions. When I'm sending the item over to my father-in-law, I'm a prospective buyer. Okay, and like Shmuel said, what did Shmuel teach us? Shmuel taught us that the buyer is the one getting benefit. Now again, we just pointed out that Shmuel's only talking about a scenario of high volume. Let's assume over here we're talking about high volume, just to make everything nice and even. So let's assume we're talking about high volume over here. So now, as the item is being sent to my father-in-law as a prospective buyer, so now the buyer is the one getting all the benefit, and therefore if anything happens to the item and while it's en route to the buyer, that's it, I'm on the hook, I have to pay. He's like, he has the same status as a shoah. Now, let's say the father-in-law rejected the item, and now it's going back. Remember, I promised and pledged that I'm no longer a buyer, and on top of that, I'm going to pay you a small consideration, you know, in the event that I'm not interested in buying it. So now what am I? I'm no say sachar, meaning in terms of liability, I'm no different than a no say sachar. No say sachar means transporting something for pay. So that is my level of liability. A no say sachar.
Huh? What's his pay?
Right.
He's actually paying this.
Right. Correct. That part's a little bit tricky. I'm with you on that. But in other words, but he's no longer just exclusively a buyer. So at that point in time, his level of liability now drops. So now he's no longer chayav for ones. He's only chayav for geneva v'aveda, but he's not chayav for ones. And so if an ones occurs to the item, so he doesn't have to pay for it. But what we got out of this brisa is that as the potential buyer, you're going to be on the hook even for ones. So you see the brisa supportive of Shmuel. How is Safsir Deshakal Chamra? The Gemara talks about a middleman. And the middleman takes a donkey. Lizvuni velo izven bahadei. I'm sorry. Velo izven. So in other words, so basically the just trying to make some simple business. So he took a donkey on consignment and he looks to sell it and nothing doing. Poor day in the market. So bahadei isnes chamra. So now on the way back, so what happens? So an onis occurs and the donkey dies while it was in the hands of the middleman. So chayve Rav Nachman l'shlume. Now it's an ones. Circumstances beyond the control. And Rav Nachman tells the middleman, look, I know you had it on consignment, and I know you're on your way back, you still have to pay, even though it was an ones. So Aiser Rav l'Rav Nachman answer ba'alicha chayve chazara pater. To which Rava says to Rav Nachman, I need to understand your ruling. He was not on the way to the market. He was away home from the market. The brisa told us that on the way to the market, so then you're chayav for ones. On the way back from the market, you have the status of a nosi sachar, and therefore you shouldn't be liable for ones. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, I don't understand your ruling. You made this middleman obligated even on the way back, even for ones. So Amar Lei Chazar D'Safsarei Halacha Hi Dilo Mishkach Lizvune Afilo Abava DeBeis Amilo Mazvin Lei. So Rav Nachman says, I'm going to explain myself, and it goes like this. Look, in the case of the Brisa, you were sending something to your father-in-law to either approve or disapprove. If he approved, he's a buyer. If he disapproved, we're returning it back to the seller. Good. Here we're talking about a middleman. The middleman is interested in one thing and one thing only, selling the item. He doesn't care whether he's on the way to the market or on the way home from the market. He's only interested in selling it. So from his standpoint, he is considered a lokeach. Now, I understand he's not the one actually buying it, but he wants to be the middleman of a sale. And so eventually, he's interested in buying in order to sell. So Rav Nachman says, from his perspective, it doesn't matter whether he's going to the market or he's coming home from the market. If he has a selling opportunity, he's going to sell it. He's going to first buy it and then, of course, sell it. So from his perspective, he is more like the intended buyer at all times. That's Rav Nachman's defense of his ruling. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah, and just read through the Mishnah, and then tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Gemara. Tomorrow's daf is dedicated to the significance of the mitzvah of Mila. Very enjoyable daf tomorrow. Konim shaninena la'arelim. So I made a neder that I'm going to get benefit from those who are uncircumcised. Mutter ba'ar le'yisrael v'asr b'mulei of the kochavim. So you are permitted. Early Yisrael, in other words, let's say you have a Jew who's not circumcised, so you are mutter to get benefit from that Jew, even though he is not circumcised. But meanwhile, let's say you have a non-Jew who is circumcised, so your neder will include him. In other words, you're not going to be benefiting from him. So Shani nena lemulim. If let's say that the neder was, and I'm going to benefit from those who are. I'm sorry. My neder is for those people to not benefit from those people who are circumcised. So here, even if the Jew is not circumcised, my neder includes him. And even if the non-Jew is circumcised, my neder does not include him. And the reason why, says the Mishnah, is because, look, when I talk about an RL, it's not we're not talking about the actual physical transformation of being circumcised. It's a term to be simply used to describe Jew versus non-Jew. In other words, when I say those who are circumcised, it's just another way of describing a Jew. When I say those who are uncircumcised, it's just a way of describing non-Jews. And so therefore, my neder is going to be irrespective of who actually has a milah. The neder just simply means Jew versus non-Jew. And the Gemara says, and how do I know? The Shenema, the Gemara quotes, and the Mishnah quotes the Pasuk and Navi. Now again, it gets interesting because yesterday's daf we learned that despite the fact that they're Pesukim and Tanakh, if this is not the normal way people talk, so then we work with the normal way people talk. Today's Mishnah teaches us that here, I have a Pasuk and Navi that shows me the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Ki kol ha-goyim arelim, v'chol beis Yisrael erlei lev, that all the goyim are considered arelim, they're considered uncircumcised, meaning even if they are circumcised, but just from a status standpoint, they're considered not circumcised. The simplest way to understand the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu is they don't have a mitzvah. So even if they do it, you know, anatomically they're circumcised, but they don't have the status of one with a mila, and all the Jewish people are considered arel. And another source in Tanakh, this is by David and Galias. He says, "Vaya plishti arel azeh." This uncircumcised plishti. V'omer penti tishmechena benos plishtim penta ta'alozna benos ha'arelim. Another pasuk that speaks to this idea as well, that the benos ha'arelim, the daughters of those who are uncircumcised. Rav Elazar ben Azariah omer Musa hi arla shenizgana barishayim. So the arla is so disgusting. It's a way. It's used in a pejorative way. Shenemar ki kol ha-goyim arelim. Right, all those goyim arelim. So you hear just the tone. It's a very pejorative term. Rabbi Yishmael amar gedola mila shenichrusal yud gimel brisos. Rabbi Yishmael says that the great is the mitzvah of mila. 13 covenants are said over this mitzvah. Tomorrow we'll talk more about exactly what that means. Rabbi Yossi amar gedola mila shadochas haShabbos. The Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that you see the greatness of the mitzvah of mila, it overrides Shabbos. Chamur Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha omer gedola mila shalo net la lo la moshe atzadik alaha amalo sha'a. And the Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha speaks to the idea of how significant it is, because even Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, did not have patience for Moshe Rabbeinu, not even for one moment, because of the mitzvah of Milah, talking, referring to the incident in Parsha Shmos where Moshe is returning to Mitzrayim, but meanwhile one of his sons does not have a Milah. And so as a result of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry with Moshe. Reb Nechemya, Omer Gedol HaMilah Shadoches HaNagayim. We can even have the mitzvah of Milah overriding the Isser in the Torah of Tzaras. Torah says that when you have a nega, when you have an affliction of nega on your body, he shamer benega of Tzaras. The Torah says that you're not allowed to cut it off. And meanwhile, we know the halacha is that if, let's say, the eight-day-old baby has a nega on his makamila, it has it on the actual arla itself, so there's a mitzvah to cut it off. Rabbi, Omer Gedol HaMilah Shekol HaMitzvah Shasav Ram Evin Ola Nikra Shalem Ad Shemal. And another idea that the mitzvah of Mila is so significant is that we see Avram Avinu did not have, was not considered whole until he had a Mila. Shenemri Salech Lefanai Veheye Tamim. Right, only after he got the Mila, then he was considered tamim, was considered complete and perfected. Without the mitzvah of Mila, Kadosh Baruch Hu would not have created the world. And so the Mishnah over here speaks to the significance of Mila. And tomorrow's daf, we start tomorrow right away with the Gemara. The Gemara is going to go through tomorrow the significance and the importance. A lot of very basic Gemaras in terms of how important the mitzvah of Mila is. Quickly. Yes. It's uncommon. Just quickly a recap. Mishnayos, today's daf, we're going over various terms and what is the general understanding of those various terms to be incorporated in your neder. And then in the middle of today's daf, a very interesting discussion in terms of a buyer and seller, who's considered the beneficiary? Who's getting benefit from a transaction? So to summarize, in a medium volume market, so both parties are going to be considered to get benefit from the sale, both the buyer and the seller. In a low volume market, so we said that the seller is the one getting benefit. In a high volume market, we said that the buyer is the one that's going to be getting benefit. Shmuel told us a halacha today, very interesting, that if you're in a high volume market, you're going into a store and you take an item and you hold it in your hand, and then it drops out of your hand, so you break it, you pay for it, because you're the one who is getting benefit, and while it's in your hand, you're considered a showa. So, and the Gemara supports Shmuel from Abraisa. That's the Gemara's conclusion. And finally, a mention of the neder regarding the Arelim versus the Mulim. And tomorrow we continue with the discussion of the mitzvah of Mila.